The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com for more relevant news and patient perspectives. This is a message from our sponsor. NfL blood test may help predict MS activity, treatment response. Levels of a protein called neurofilament light chain, or NfL, in the blood can be used to predict the risk of future disease activity in people with multiple sclerosis, according to a new study. The results also suggest that changes in NfL levels could be used to deduce the extent to which MS patients are responding to treatments. This study brings us a significant step closer to having a blood test that can predict an individual's risk for upcoming MS disease activity and detect how well their disease-modifying therapy is working, Robert Fox, MD, a neurologist at Cleveland Clinic, said in a press release. Moreover, this represents important progress towards the critical unmet need for biomarkers that give early reflections of treatment response, which in turn may both improve clinical care and speed clinical trials testing new therapies, he added. Fox is chair of the Scientific Steering Committee at the International Progressive MS Alliance, which helped fund this study alongside Biogen, Celgene, Novartis, Roche, and the Swiss National Science Foundation. The study, Serum Neurofilament Light Chain for Individual Prognostication of Disease Activity in People with Multiple Sclerosis, a Retrospective Modeling and Validation Study, was published in The Lancet Neurology. NfL is a structural protein inside of nerve cells that leaks out into the surrounding fluid and eventually to the blood when nerve cells are damaged. Measuring NfL in the blood has been explored as a way to indirectly assess disease activity in neurological disorders like MS, which is caused by the immune system erroneously attacking healthy parts of the brain and spinal cord. A problem with using NfL as a biomarker of disease activity, however, is that levels of this protein vary naturally with age and also with body mass index, or BMI, a ratio of weight to height. These natural variations have made it difficult to establish clear cutoffs for NfL levels, since levels that are high in one individual might be within the normal range for someone else. In the study, an international team of scientists analyzed NfL levels in 10,133 serum samples collected from 5,390 people with no sign of neurological disease. Serum is the non-cellular part of the blood. For these samples, the researchers constructed reference values for NfL levels based on age and BMI. Generally, NfL levels increased with age, and the rate of increase in NfL levels got faster past the age of 50 or so. A higher BMI was generally associated with lower NfL levels. Based on the data, the team created an online app that other researchers and clinicians can use to calculate NfL references for a given individual. The team then used these reference values to analyze data for 1,313 people with MS in a Swedish database. Among these patients, about two-thirds were female, nearly all were white, and most had relapsing remitting disease. Statistical analyses showed that higher than normal NfL levels, as determined based on the calculated references, were strongly and independently associated with clinical and MRI measures of disease worsening or progression, the researchers said. Subsequent analyses showed that high NfL levels were predictive of a greater risk of relapsing or experiencing worsening disability. Specifically, people with higher NfL levels were 41% more likely to experience relapses and 11% more likely to experience disability worsening in the following year. They also had a 43% greater likelihood of having evidence of disease activity, which includes relapses, disability worsening, or new or enlarging brain lesions, in that year. NfL levels also were associated with treatments. Patients treated with monoclonal antibodies, a type of MS therapy generally viewed as high efficacy, had lower NfL levels than those treated with other medications, and NfL levels were highest in untreated patients. Analyses of samples taken at different points over time showed that NfL levels dropped more quickly after treatment initiation in patients given higher efficacy medications. While NfL levels remain low in patients receiving these high-efficacy antibodies and oral medications for at least 5 years, patients receiving low-efficacy medications, such as interferons and glatiramer acetate, had a moderate and transient decrease in NfL levels. Our results showed that NfL can be used as a biomarker for monitoring of treatment efficacy and prognostication of disease course in individual people with multiple sclerosis, the researchers concluded. This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on February 23, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. 'Through the Looking Glass, a column by Beth Ulla, published on February 23, 2022. The Furious Fire of Heat Sensitivity. In order to rise from its own ashes, a phoenix must first burn. A quote from Octavia E. Butler. You know that feeling waking up in a strange place, and it takes a second to remember where you are. Imagine that coupled with not being able to move from the neck down. Flashback to flames. A dark and dreary day dawned on the morning of February 20th, 2018. I was in a hotel room with my mother and sister. It was the start of my second day of the first round of Lemtrada, or alemtuzumab, infusions, the disease-modifying treatment I underwent to wage war against my aggressive-onset, relapsing-remitting MS. Lemtrada, so far, has been winning the battle. Half asleep, I attempted to go to the bathroom. The problem with that was I didn't realize I couldn't move from the neck down. I couldn't feel my body. I'd overheated while I was asleep, and my body felt like lava, despite the temperature control medication I'd taken to ameliorate the side effects of the infusion. The next thing I knew, I was slipping off the crisp hotel sheets. By now, my distress had awakened my sister. She lifted me back onto the bed. Being a midwife, she was well-versed with patient maneuvers. Then, after building a wall of pillows so I didn't accidentally fall off the side, she draped me with doused towels from the bathroom to cool me down. At the time, I had consistent neuropathic issues all over my body, including numbness, burning, and wet sensations. I was also not a stranger to fatigue, both cognitive and physical. The thorn in my side, however, was that I was at the beginning of a disabling relapse that proceeded to paralyze me from the waist down. I was a stranger to how significant temperature change is on my symptoms, and this wasn't a pleasant way to be introduced to it. I was effectively carried to the car to embark on my second of 5 days of infusions. When I say that I walked into Lemtrada and wheeled out, I'm not exaggerating. This was the frustrating introduction to my newfound relationship with my wheelchair. Temperature change and my revolution. Yes, just like most of my other symptoms, my body's reaction to heat sensitivity has evolved. That fateful day was rock bottom. I do still experience heat sensitivity, albeit in a different way. Whereas all it used to take was any heat increase, such as from a duvet, a hot summer's day, a bath slightly too warm, or even a hot hand on my arm to trigger a cascade of symptoms. Now it's a swift temperature change that affects me more. The evolution of my heat sensitivity has developed synonymously with anxiety, because it originally triggered my bladder incontinence the most, which is easily the most embarrassing symptom. I'd have no notice to need the bathroom, let alone getting there on time in a wheelchair. Sometimes I couldn't even feel it happening. A 30-minute car journey on a hot day became unthinkable. The reality of having to use incontinence underwear at 27 years old felt increasingly demeaning, as though I was shedding layers of dignity. Serendipity. The turning point was at a Blackstone Cherry concert at the stunning Caerphilly Castle in southern Wales. It was midsummer and hot by the UK's standards. We'd driven over 2 hours. About 300 people were attending, and there was one standalone disabled port-a-loo toilet at the back of the venue. The moment of clarity struck. After using the rudimentary port-a-loo's facilities to clean myself up after being forced to wait, I asked myself the question, am I going to let this ruin today? No, that was the clear moment of serendipity. I've heard it's about regulating my environment and learning my triggers. Managing heat sensitivity involves fans and lots of ice and cool drinks in the summer and consistent heating in the winter. Of course, you can't regulate Mother Nature. Changeable weather, as the UK has seen this past week, has a profound impact. The cold spell we've had caused me to change my duvet for a warmer one. It was a mistake. I couldn't move the next morning, and I still feel somewhat like I'm walking on stilts. The silver lining I choose to focus on is that the baseline of my symptoms has improved since 2018. I am rising up out of my dreaded heat intolerance, and that's the most important thing. To read more columns by Beth Ulla and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.